I'm glad to be with all of you this morning, and I want to share a very special message from God's Word. First of all, I need to start off by saying to each and every one of you that I am a Christian. I love the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Savior of the world. We have spent some time already this morning talking about Jesus and what He means to us, that we partook of the Lord's Supper to commemorate His death until He comes. These things are crucial and they are important as we gather together as Christians. I realize that there are many Christians here in our number this morning with me. So I do not stand alone as a Christian in this room. But I also want to say to those who can think for themselves and understand that they are not a Christian. They have not obeyed the gospel. They don't, or at least have not yet followed what God has plainly written out for them to do in order to be saved. I want to speak to both classes this morning. Whether you are a Christian or not a Christian, I want to tell you what my hope is built on. And so let's start in Hebrews chapter 9. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Because we want to know what the Lord has to say about the very thing that He's done for us. Whether you are a Christian or maybe you're thinking about becoming a Christian, a child of God. Hebrews 9 and verse 13. Now, it's talking about the old law, the blood of bulls and goats, and what it accomplished. But it's sending us and taking us somewhere else to think about Jesus and what our hope is built on. Verse 13, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" The Bible tells us very plainly that the blood of Jesus Christ through the eternal Spirit of God offered Himself so that we might be cleansed, our conscience would be cleansed, and that we would be removed from dead works or wicked works that we were once involved in or engaged in. This is very important to the understanding of where my hope is built and where the hope of Christians is built. I've highlighted the word "is" for us to remind all of us that our hope is built. That means that it's currently built. It's established. It is built. It also means that it is being built. As we look at this morning and we talk about what God has said to us, you are building, continuing to build on your hope and on your confidence in God. Your hope is established and it cannot be torn down. Not because of who you are as a Christian or maybe you who would like to become a Christian. Your hope is not torn down or is not lost its established position because of something you have done, but because of what God has done. And this is very important for us to think about this morning as we go through the lesson. I want to give you another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This will help us to think about Jesus and where our hope is built. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 47. Paul is explaining several things that are important to our understanding as Christians, but verse 47 is where I want to focus. Paul says, "The first man was of the earth, made of dust." Pharaoh mentioned Adam in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 this morning as we studied and began to prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. There is, Paul mentions him as the second Adam. The first Adam sinned and introduced sin into the world. We are all plagued by that sin, and it brings forth death. Jesus Christ is another man, the second Adam. And He is not from the earth. He is not of the dust of the ground, and yet He is. He is made the same as us. He put on flesh. But where He's from is very important for our thinking this morning. He is the Lord from heaven. My hope is built on one man's sacrifice. This second Adam who would come and give His life. Look at John chapter 3 with me. We're going to watch John the Baptist preparing the way of the Lord. See what John the Baptist says about Jesus and His coming. This, again, all of this will be very important to our thinking this morning and what our hope is built on. John 3. Beginning in verse 30, John the Baptist says, "He, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. John the Baptist has told us twice in this one verse, he who comes from above is above all. 32. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. Well, what has he seen and heard? What is John telling all of us? That which is in heaven, that which he has seen and heard, that he testifies. No one receives his testimony. Verse 33, he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John the Baptist tells us again the same thing we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Jesus is from heaven. He came down from heaven, from the presence of God, and put on flesh as a man. And he knows that he will give himself as a sacrifice. If you believe in the Son, you have everlasting life. This is God's purpose for every human that's ever lived. If you do not believe, and that is your choice, you will be eternally condemned. Nothing can change that. It is the will and the written word of God. It is revealed to us this morning, and we need to be thinking very seriously about what John says, even before Christ will step on the scene and begin to preach. Now look over at John 8 with me, because remember, John the Baptist said that he's going to testify the things which he's seen and heard, and no one's going to believe him. He does say after that that those who will believe, they will be justified. But there's this group of people, everyone who hears him, are struggling and having trouble believing what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is saying. John 8 in verse 23. Jesus said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above." We heard that before, didn't we? He's telling them very plainly, "You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He." You will die in your sins. Jesus has told us now the message from above from which He came. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. He's not pointing the finger and laughing and saying, "You're all going to die in your sins." He's saying, there's a condition. If you believe that I am He, you will not die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, the one from above, you will die in your sins. We must be taking this to heart. Verse 27, they did not understand that He spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." You know, he says, I realize you're having trouble with all of this, but when they lift up the Son of Man, when he's nailed to the cross and lifted up above the earth, then you will know that I am He. How? What does that have to do with anything? Because I do not move and operate by my own will. It is not my will to be nailed to a cross and to be lifted up. But when you see the Son of Man lifted up, you will know that I am He. I am who I say I am. Because I'm not moving by my will, I am moving by the will of the one who sent me, my Father in heaven. As my Father taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. Now verse 30 says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Well, John the Baptist said that they wouldn't believe in him. So what's going on here? Verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." A son in the house and from the house, who has come from above. He abides forever, and he is different than the slave. Verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I am going to set you free if you believe that I am He. My hope is built on what Jesus just told us, that when the Son of Man is lifted up, you will believe. My hope is built and established on that very truth. You shall be free indeed. That is Christ's promise to me and to you and to all of those who will call on the name of the Lord. Verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. Now remember, some of them believed, and Jesus is now challenging them with these thoughts and these concepts. Now he's saying, now you want to kill me. So what John the Baptist said was true. He's going to speak to them and they will not believe. They want to put him to death for what they're saying about Abraham, their father. They are very upset with Jesus at this point in time. And he says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, which, by the way, is believe in God. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Jesus goes back to the very first point. This is all the Father's doing. If you knew the Father, and if you followed him, and if you listened to him as you claim to have done, you would love me, not hate me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, and now he tells them who that is, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He is a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus now has not only told them that if you don't believe in me, you are going to be eternally lost. Now he takes it to the next level, which says, by the way, if you don't believe in me, you are of your father, the devil, because you will not receive my word. I want us all to know, whether you're a Christian or you're thinking about becoming a Christian, you're here. I'm glad that you're here. But Jesus is challenging all of us who can think and reason through his word to say, you can't just sit on the fence and say, I don't know, I'm thinking about it, I'm not sure. No, you're choosing a side. If you believe the lie that, well, maybe God isn't, maybe he didn't tell us the truth, or maybe this isn't all that he wanted us to know, or you've been deceived in some way, that is from the devil himself. He is a liar from the beginning, and he has pulled the wool over your eyes. Jesus is speaking to you this morning and saying, you must understand the rules. If you believe that I am he, please listen. You will have everlasting life. Jesus died so that you could have it. Do not take these things and these concepts lightly, but understand that they apply directly to us, whether we have already built our hope on the blood of Jesus Christ or now we are intending to. This is an eternal truth, and it cannot be changed by the will of man. It is the will of God. Now we looked at John the Baptist, and now we've heard Jesus speak. Look at Matthew chapter 11 with me, because Jesus, again, is going to talk to us about the condition of the people. Both John the Baptist and Jesus came to the people publicly, and they dealt with him, both of them, in a very specific way. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 18, Jesus says, for John, that's John the Baptist, came neither eating nor drinking. And they say, he has a demon. He's crazy. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus will say now, but wisdom is justified by her children. The evidence of true wisdom is justified by her children. That which is born out of wisdom. Christ has given to us, John the Baptist has given to us, the wisdom of God, and wisdom itself will be justified by those who call on the name of the Lord. We are the children of wisdom because we believe in the eternal truth that God has provided. It is so crucial that we understand all of these points, that we understand that our hope is built and securely fastened to an anchor that cannot be moved. Jesus Christ gave his life for our souls. If our hope is built on the blood of our Savior, it cannot ever be moved, and it can never be removed. No man can do that to us or against us. If you have not obeyed the gospel, this is the only way to stand before God the Father justified. You cannot do it on your own. Again, Jesus knew this. He paid the price that was due so that you could gladly step in to the light of the truth, to receive His Word, to be justified before God Himself because of Jesus and because of your willingness to understand and to reason with the Lord. My hope is built on one man's blood. Look at Galatians chapter 4 with me. I spent the first part of this lesson talking about how Jesus is from above. The Scriptures are plain to say that to us all. But we cannot forget that Jesus did come to the earth as a man and suffered in every way just as we do, yet without sin. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world." Paul's talking about being under the law. Verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law." Paul makes the same point we've been looking at, that God sent His Son. He is from above, but He came in a very unique and special way, which was prophesied by Isaiah, that He would be born of a virgin, born of a woman, and that He was born under the law. He is flesh and bone, and this was God's will. Verse 5, "He was sent, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son." Remember what Jesus said about the son in the house is greater than the slave. And if He chooses to free the slave, then the slave is free, because He's the Son in the house and of the house. And now Paul says to us, "You are no longer a slave through your confidence in the Lord and His Word, but you are a son of God. And if you are a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ, His only begotten Son." Ephesians 1 and verse 7. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." That's an interesting statement. My hope is built on blood. To the normal ear, that wouldn't sound like a very good plan, to build something on blood. It's liquid. It can't stand. It has no determined position. It simply would just run off into the ground or off of a shelf, off of a surgery table, whatever it is that you're thinking about. And yet our hope is built on the blood of a human who came down from heaven and gave His life. I want to share a couple of verses with you that show what the blood of Jesus Christ has done for us. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in Him." We have read twice now of the fullness of time, the dispensation of the fullness of time, that this was accomplished by God. It was predetermined, and it was according to God's foreknowledge. He has determined to gather us all together through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's interesting in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14 almost says the exact same thing. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." My hope is truly built on the blood that was willingly shed by Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 with me, beginning in verse 17. Peter will tell us that the blood of Jesus Christ is precious. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. remember, if you're thinking about Jesus, God, the fact that you're here, this message is being preached to you and you have not yet responded to the gospel invitation that's given by God Himself through His ambassadors, please prepare yourself to respond, to accept eternal life and to know that it's been paid. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17, if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our faith and our hope is built upon and is in God through Jesus Christ. The Lord has given us a simple message, and yet it is impossible to fully understand. He's given to us what He knows we'll understand, what we can see, and that we would know what we must do. He wants you to be saved. He wants your hope to be built on the foundation that He has laid Himself. We must understand what God is saying to each and every one of us. Our hope is built, it is being built, and it can never be removed. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Conduct yourselves in fear while you're here. Peter says the reason why you should conduct yourselves in fear is because you were not purchased with a dollar amount. All of the money in the world, all of the entire world, the universe, whatever else you can think of, if it all was piled up and tried to be traded for your soul, God would not accept that payment. These things were created by the span of His hand. That is not where His heart or His concern is. Your soul was not purchased with earthly things. Your soul was purchased from something that came from above, that willingly died on the cross, knowing the Father's will, so that you would be saved. Take it seriously. Receive it into your heart. Understand what God's Word is saying to each one of us. If you need to obey the gospel, do it. Do it. This is an invitation for you to step forward and to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the great confession. It is the greatest confession that has ever left the lips of man. Because it's true. It's eternally true. God cannot lie. He will keep His promise. He has made a covenant with those who receive His Son with gladness. If you need to respond to the gospel, if you understand that your hope needs to be built on the blood of Jesus Christ and not on your own thoughts or your own payment, then know that you need to come forward right now to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let us help you in any way that we can. Please come forward while together we stand and sing.